intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Welcome, everybody, to the PC Invasion Christmas and or pre-Christmas podcast, depending when you get around to listening to this, I suppose. I recommend putting it on during your family's Christmas dinner, especially if your family have no interest in PC gaming, just to see how that goes down. We've brought in a manky old tree from outside of the bunker. We've scavenged some resources to make some makeshift stockings to put up, and Paul, hello, how's it going?
Hello.
You're here against doctor's orders, probably, I guess.
No, I think I'm allowed to talk.
You're okay. You're
yeah, I can talk.
Do you want to say what's up with you, or is that too?
Yeah, I broke a rib. There you go. And I wasn't through anything heroic or miraculous. I slipped. So yeah, I broke a rib.
We don't want to make up a better story than that to make it sound.
Okay, yeah, I was, what was I doing? I was rescuing a small puppy who was stranded halfway across a river.
Right.
And I slipped and fell, and I held the puppy above the water, but I cracked a rib.
Right.
On a stone as I fell into the water. But I struggled through the pain and got the puppy back to the bank.
Fantastic, well done. Wow.
There you go. That's utter bullshit, by the way. But could have been convincing.
How heroic.
What I did do was walk down the garden with a cup of coffee, slip on a bit of wood, fall on my back, and landed on a pipe as I fell, and that's what broke my rib.
Did you rescue the cup of coffee, I'm assuming?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you what I didn't do. I was so worried about breaking the nice cup that basically I didn't stop myself falling properly because I was so concerned about breaking the cup.
So in a way, you did save the cup.
I did save the cup, although it taunts me now from the shelf. It laughs.
God, I broke your rib, mate.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, well,
That'll teach you for pouring hot water in me every day.
Well, hopefully, you know, we'll have a nice restful podcast, and it can, you know, hopefully your rib will heal up a little bit during the course of this
episode. It will only heal up if it can hear the dulcet tones of our other co-host.
Indeed. Tim McDonald, hello. Tim, what are you doing?
I don't know. Playing with string.
Tim, are you...
I was mostly trying to put it off because Paul said that he wanted to hear my dulcet tones.
Oh, I see.
And it's very important to keep people in a state of anticipation.
Well, Tim, I could actually feel the bones fusing back together right now.
I would recommend listening to this podcast. Well, actually, you can listen to this podcast whenever. The family dinner is a good time, but if you're coming to this a bit late, happy Easter. I'm glad we'll have you.
When you weren't talking, Tim, I was worried that you were just above this podcast now that you've been on a professional podcast.
Hey, this podcast is professional, for fuck's sake.
All right, yeah.
Can't you tell?
Tim, do you want to mention the other podcast you were on? You may as well.
I could. I was on Three Moves Ahead, talking about Thea the Awakening. And I think, despite being with a bunch of strategy game mavens, I think I acquitted myself reasonably well. I think I came across as the complete idiot of the panel.
No, I didn't find myself shaking my head in complete disapproval at everything you said throughout the cast.
No.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, Tim.
That would imply that the problem with this podcast doesn't lie with me, then.
we're slowly eliminating the problems one by one.
Let's try it next week without Peter.
I'm worried. I'm really worried. I like the sort of implicit undertones in the Thea conversation, Tim. You kept trying to say, like, oh, you guys, you need to play it on higher difficulty. Come on, what's wrong with you? You've got to play it on higher difficulty. I like you were poking them with that quite a lot.
It wasn't so much with that. It was more that I was kind of, when I played it, I treated it more like a roguelike than I did standard 4X game. And I feel it works better in that sense.
What Tim was subtly saying was, call yourselves games journalists, play it easy.
That's what I was hearing.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing as well.
Whether intentional or not, I don't know.
Let's hope none of them listen to this, or none of us are ever getting on that podcast again.
I mean, it's pretty... they play like real hardcore strategy games sometimes, some of the like hex-based World War II war games, so I don't think there's much grounds to sort of criticise on the level of difficulty, to be quite honest.
Yeah, Tim.
You'll never be invited back now.
I think you were criticising... you just wanted to give Thea some love, I think.
I like it. I think the conclusion we all came to on the show was that it's a very flawed game, but it's one that is strangely enjoyable nonetheless.
That happens. That happens. Games are more than pure systems. Sometimes they have, they've just got some kind of aesthetic je ne sais quoi or whatever that you just kind of latch onto. Anyway. Enough about other people's podcasts. Good though.
If you want to listen to that podcast, there'll probably be a link here somewhere, or you can just Google Three Moves Ahead and look for the Thea episode.
It's currently the most recent one, I think. So
It's over on the Idle Thumbs Network somewhere.
Indeed.
Yes. But don't stop listening to this podcast.
No.
Just like cue it up or something. Yeah.
It's a very different approach that they have, obviously. So there's room for all of us.
Yeah, they take things seriously.
Right, games news. Christmas,
oh, yes.
Christmas games news. Someone who's had a Christmas miracle is Hideo Kojima, who can make games again. He's free. He's free from Konami's whatever contractual legal shenanigans they had on him. And he's put back together a studio, which he's calling Kojima Productions. So he must own that name or something. I kind of wasn't expecting that he would be able to call it that again.
I'll tell you one thing he wasn't doing when he was on holiday. He was thinking up another name.
No, he was just going around all his old mates, because as far as I can tell, he's hired a lot of the people he used to work with, which makes some sense because they also lost their jobs, I think, at Konami. And he is going to be making a new game of some description. He's kind of hooked up with Sony, but it's not going to be PlayStation 4 fully exclusive or anything. Well, it might be. It might not be on the Xbox One, but the implication is that it will be on PC as well, because Sony were using that weird term that I can't remember right now, like console debut or something. That means it'll be on PC and other stuff as well. Whatever it is, I mean, we don't even know.
They've gone from console exclusive to debut.
Yeah.
Trying to change it to confuse you, keep confusing you.
They have a whole bunch of terms, and yeah, most of them mean it'll be on the PC as well.
Well, the next one will be console premiere. That'll be the next one.
Why?
I'm fairly certain this isn't going to happen, but I would really like it if his studio started off by doing some of the smaller, more interesting bits and pieces that he used to do.
Hmm.
Back before Metal Gear Solid was one of the biggest franchises. Snapshare, Police Nauts.
There you go, yeah.
Both of those were great. I'd love, just do a little sort of a £10 downloadable game, something like that, $15. Get some of that. I mean, the man clearly, if you've ever played a Metal Gear game, except possibly for Metal Gear Solid 5, it's very obvious that he really likes telling stories.
Well, look at it this way, he could shit in a dog bowl and people would buy it, so...
Yeah, but he's not going to do that, Paul. He's going to make a good game like he normally does.
That would be an amazing game.
Hopefully.
I would love a proper Snatcher sequel, but I'm fairly certain Konami have the rights to Snatcher and Police Nauts, so that's not happening. Well, although, let's face it, Snatcher is actually just Blade Runner in Japan.
Right. I think I confused that one with Police Nauts, because I thought Police Nauts was the Blade Runner one, but plainly it is not.
No. They're called snatchers because they snatch people and replace them.
Which one has the really pervy bit where you start hitting on your boss's daughter or whatever? Because it's a Kojima game, so obviously that happened.
Yeah, that's Snatcher. That's also the bit where a dog with its intestines ripped out gets lobbed through the window, amongst other things.
Sorry, that's not that funny, but it's also quite surreally funny.
Yeah, it's just the way that the game manages to kind of arc between ridiculous gore and hitting on underage teenage girls.
Yeah, you're not really selling this game, Tim. I don't know, people listening imagine playing this.
Are you sure you want to make another game like this, Tim? Are you sure?
It's like, why is he good again? I don't know. There's bits of Metal Gear Solid as well that are like that. I mean, like, oh, Kojima.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? Anyway, sorry, having a drink of water there. That was that pause.
That's allowed, Peter. That's allowed.
I know. Got to hydrate, you know? Yeah, we don't know much more about this, really. But it's nice that he can do stuff again and obviously is allowed to talk and attend events and generally have a normal life. So that's good.
Kojima is allowed to make games again.
Yeah.
That's basically what we've spent the last 5 minutes talking about.
Pretty much. It's worth
it. That's all we know.
All right. It's with trepidation that I now move on to a Dota 2 patching story because I don't know. How much do people like hearing this stuff? I don't know. Like, it's worth covering, obviously, because this is a big they've changed everything again patch thing. So that's a big deal. And we've got our Dota 2 correspondent here, so I feel like it's a valid thing.
I like that. I'm the Dota 2 correspondent, as though it's some sort of foreign country.
Yeah,
It is. Bloody is.
It's our government and laws and political system.
I read your update post thing, the like 1,000-plus word one, and it is like reading, I don't know, some of the more obscure private eye business reports or something where they're talking about, this tax scheme has done
I have spent more time writing an actual in-depth analysis of this patch than I have actually playing the game.
Okay.
I'm tempted to put my patch analysis like across 3 articles or something like that, because otherwise it is going to be fucking gargantuan. Because this is a big patch. Like, the last one they released before the majors, they said, oh yeah, that's a small patch. That changed shitloads. And this, other than changing shitloads, pretty much completely or largely reworks 5 heroes, adds another one in, throws in another 4 items, and then rebalances the entire game. Oh, and it also changed the map layout. So you get to relearn that as well.
Changing the map changed. That's a big deal.
They've moved one of the lanes a millimeter to the right or something, which will make all the difference.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We probably would, because then it's like, now this hero can get there ever so slightly quicker or something. So therefore, there's a tiny advantage to doing that.
No, I mean, there is minor stuff like that. Like, the Radiant Tier 1 is a bit further back than it used to be, but that's the fairly boring stuff. There's more jungle camps. The jungles have been rearranged. There are more paths running through them. No, there's still only the one Roshan.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, there is a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to go into huge amounts of detail because you'll fall asleep. No. Maybe I should do that, actually. We should have like the In Gamers Lullaby podcast where we just go over the Dota patch notes or something.
PC Invasion Lullaby podcast, please.
Yeah, so that's what I meant.
Okay, good. It's fine. What's your favourite change?
That's a really different
one. Is least favourite easier, would you prefer?
No.
Okay.
It's
what's the change you feel completely neutral about, Tim?
I don't know. I wasn't kidding when I said I've spent more time writing about it than playing it.
Oh, fine. fine.
There is one of the new items. God, there's a load of stuff that feels completely overpowered. The ether lens is a new item. Increases all sorts of stuff, which is actually pretty new for this. There don't tend to be items that impact spells directly in Dota, so that's quite a big deal. Which is probably going to wind up being the new Glimmer Cape, which was an item that was previously added and was hilariously overpowered.
Oh, the Glimmer Cape. Don't get me started.
I know. On the flip side of things, there's the Dragon Lance, which increases basic attack range, and that's is kind of rubbish in except for very particular situations.
Dragon Lance was an old fantasy series.
I've made this joke in the article. I'm wondering whether they have to change the name for legal reasons, because they have had to change a lot of the names before because of Blizzard.
Oh right, yeah.
Windrunner had to be renamed to Windranger. Because they've got a Blizzard have a character called, I think it's Illyria Windrunner or something like that. So no, I had to change that name.
Absolutely. People would have been terribly confused.
Well, in fairness, if she ever gets added into Blizzard's own MOBA, then that possibly could happen.
I suppose. Well, they could, I don't know, it would be a nice cross-promotional thing. It's like when the Left 4 Dead people show up in every game like they do nowadays. It would just be a bit like that.
Yeah, but that's because Valve actually like other companies, or seem to. Like, they have a big store where other companies are allowed to put their games, as opposed to Blizzard, who don't put their games on other stores. They have their own store, which is absurdly overpriced.
And they
put everything on there, and then they sort of make legal threats against people who are making Dota.
Oh, Blizzard, come on. I guess Dota did come from Warcraft 3 originally, so.
Was it, I forget, Paul, you might be able to remember this one a bit better, but was it Blizzard who actually tried to sue for the rights to the name Dota 2?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was.
Yeah, they wanted it, because obviously they perceived it as a Warcraft 3 thing.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Were they going for Dota, or were they going for Defense of the Ancients? Because, I mean...
I kind of
wonder how many people who played Dota 2 even know that it stands for that at this point.
Look, Paris Sharp, you're splitting hairs.
That's what players do. That's exactly what would have happened when they'd come in for suing. They go, oh, well, do you want the acronym, or do you want the acronym?
The thing is, Peter, this probably was all addressed, but this was years ago, so...
Fine.
It's kind of hard to remember.
It's all sorted out now. Everyone's happy, at least settled.
I don't think Blizzard are very happy, but you know, the MOBA companies do seem to fight it out quite a lot. There's a lot of viciousness that goes on.
Well, a lot of money, isn't there, I suppose. Anyway, speaking of a lot of money. Paul, you watched Chris Roberts play Star Citizen the other week.
Oh yeah, that was the best.
Peter, you got me fucking excited then. You said, speaking of a lot of money, Paul, and I was thinking, holy shit.
We're all getting raises.
Yeah. So I was sitting on my mound of cash right now. Now, this was the best thing to wake up to and have a cup of coffee to, was watching Chris Roberts attempt to play Star Citizen live following the release of the 2.0 patch. It was just brilliant. It was almost like somebody in the office thought, hey, you know what, Chris is coming in to do this live thing today. Let's really fuck with him really badly, right?
Yeah,
let's make everything on this computer just not work. Let's just make everything crash.
We'll change his joystick config setups and his throttle and all that.
I'm sure it was a wind-up. I mean, come on, it must have been a wind-up.
Well, yeah, because you would imagine, you know, you would test... That's pretty straightforward to test your control setup and stuff, isn't it, before you start live streaming. It was,
What was more worrying about it than anything else? It was almost like he'd never played the game before.
He hasn't. He's busy sorting out all the mocap studios and chatting with Gary Oldman.
But he kept going, actually playing the game. We kept going about how terrible the chat interface was, and it was like, it's been like that for ages. That's the funniest part. Yeah, at what point have you just realised that it's shit? Like, now? But there was one bit that made me laugh. There's a bit where he's going to the terminal to order his ship up to the landing bay.
Mm.
And it's going like that, and it's just going, sorry, your ship's unavailable. Yeah. And it kept doing it, like, over and over. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, you're just not going to have a good day, are you? And then there's a bit where he's trying to walk to the sort of the airlock. But he's sort of like bashing into the walls, you know. He's kind of like sort of leaning against them to get there. I just thought, oh man, you really haven't played much of this, have you? That was brilliant.
I enjoyed the part where there's the other guy on the landing pad. He tries to, like, I think he's trying to do a salute, but the animation keeps breaking, so it keeps switching back into the default T pose that you see with stuff. And then after the guy saluted him. Because Chris's controllers don't really work properly, he just kind of like trundles forward on the landing bay and shunts the other guy's ship right to, not quite off the landing bay, but like right to the edge.
But it's also, what's brilliant about it is the audio. He kind of like, his ship just kind of slips like a meter off the thing, and it goes, you know, you've taken off. Then it would, because his controls are fucked, it would slide back and go, you have landed.
Yeah.
You've taken off. You have landed.
Also, this was the authentic Alpha experience, definitely.
This is right. Every time Chris Roberts plays Star Citizen, it seems to go horribly fucking wrong.
It was funnier than the time that he crashed it. That it was funnier than that, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a reasonable representation, because I thought, right, yeah, this is like when we get Alpha or Beta code for something, it's somewhat complex. This kind of is how it is for the first half hour or so when you're trying it out and going, right, what's the controls? How do I move the ship? How do I do this?
To be fair, actually, I haven't experienced as many problems as he's experienced on that demo playing
it.
He's
got a special version, Paul, that they installed on his PC.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was a bit weird. It was like, it was almost, yeah, like he'd had another version and it was just so bored that it just couldn't work properly. And I don't know. But it was funny. I mean, fair play to the guy. He struggled through it. There was no crying or tears.
A few
death stares to the side of the camera as if to say, what the fuck have you done to me, Dave?
Yeah, the bit where he was sort of asking about reconfiguring his controls, he sounded pretty... there was some pretty passive-aggressive annoyance emanating from him at that point. But yeah, I know.
At least he wasn't saying, really blame Jared, him. Jared, go! Jared, go!
Camera 2! Switch to Camera 2! Oh, man. I've never put a penny towards that game, but it has given me incredible amounts of enjoyment already. So
yeah, I think I've probably had my $80 worth of entertainment from it so far. Anyway, I'll say that.
Yeah,
Peter, do you now feel that you should put some money towards it because you've clearly been enjoying it so much?
I do. I feel obligated, but I don't know if there's a tier that I can... what's their lowest tier, do we know?
Well, I'm sure there's a $2 laugh at Chris tier. I'm not sure.
I'll say $5. Come on. I've had more than that. Yeah, anyway. Again, it's in alpha. You know, it looks like it's in alpha, so no, fair play, I suppose. You know.
That's the PC Invasion seal of approval there, I think, isn't it? It's in alpha, it's given us more than $5 of entertainment.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. Game of the year.
Hey, maybe next year it'll be in our reader awards, you know, for like Squadron 42 episodes 1.5 or whatever. Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. What else? Oh, this is something I didn't have in our I didn't have in the pre-show agenda, but I remembered it, so I added it in. Which was GTA multiplayer mod people, the guys who got the GTA 5 multiplayer mod shut down by Take-Two. They say they're gonna start doing stuff for Just Cause 3. Which sounds like quite good news to me, as long as they don't get shut down again by Square Enix this time.
Well, no, that was a Just Cause 2 multiplayer mod.
Yeah, it was, yeah, which is yeah. very good.
That's why I kind of expected them to do the multiplayer, having already done one for Just Cause 2, say the team would do one for Just Cause 3, but
yeah, I
don't maybe there'll be two, I don't know.
I don't know, I mean, maybe they are working on one as well, but yeah, these guys say they're in contact with Avalanche and also Square Enix to, you know, make sure that before they get too deep into this that they would actually be allowed to do this. But Avalanche have seemed, well, they seem friendly towards mods at least, and they don't seem, unlike with GTA 5 where obviously they make a bunch of money off their own multiplayer stuff, there isn't really anything on along those lines in Just Cause 3, so hopefully
they don't really go in for the microtransactions.
Nope. And there's a bit of like social multiplayer stuff, but it's not the madness of co-op grappling hooks, which is what I would expect and hope for from Just Cause 3 mod.
I mean, Just Cause 2 got modded out the wazoo. So many mods of things to do with tethers.
Basically. And the multiplayer one is, I don't know, I wouldn't... It's basically as chaotic as you would imagine it would be, the Just Cause 2 multiplayer mod. It's just a shitload of people exploding things, crashing things, and dicking around with grappling hooks.
So. Well, I tell you what, I thoroughly enjoy playing Just Cause 3 because it's just so stupid.
Yeah.
That it's just thoroughly enjoyable. It's just, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. And it's not just because there's big explosions, it's just horrendously stupid.
Yeah, it's just swooping around like some sort of psychotic Spider-Man. Have you taken to really experimenting with the tether system yet?
Well, I couldn't figure out. God, the other day, I think I asked you this question because I've been like going back and forward to it periodically throughout the week. I've forgotten how to tether two objects together so they pull together. So it was like one mission where I have to like lift the gate, and I couldn't lift the fucking gate. Because I couldn't remember what to do.
Have to hold down a button.
Yeah, I know that now. But
and then it's left shift to retract.
I know. But I didn't have to feel a dick for forgetting that in the first place.
But, it is a problem when you leave a game for a bit.
You probably could have just pressed escape and gone into the key bindings and checked.
No, it wasn't clear.
Okay.
It's not clear of what that is in the key bindings. I don't know, maybe I was just being a complete moron.
Probably. One of my favorite things to do with that, particularly after getting the tether upgrades, was to tether a person to like a building, sort of the very top end of a building, and then retract the tethers so that they fly up towards it, and then release the tethers at just the right moment so they go catapulting off into the sky. Like you're using the building as a massive slingshot to fire people into the stratosphere. That's fucking great. You should all do that.
When I was playing it the other day, I didn't set this up at all, and I don't know if it's just a thing that happens, but I was liberating a settlement and a car showed up that had a deer stood on its like bonnet.
that's an AMD thing.
And bizarrely, it was staying on there. Like it was incredibly well. I was like, what? I had nothing to do with this. It's just shown up.
That sounds like an AMD thing, Peter.
Yeah, it's definitely a special feature. Well, I'll take it. It's great. Hey, it's running all right on my AMD Spectacular.
Yes.
R9 2380X.
You showed me a picture of your old singing, old dancing new rig yesterday. I was very impressed by how colourful it wasn't.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I showed you the case I got, the boring black with a few vents in it. Non-spectacular.
Could be worse. It could have been beige, like all of the cases were 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. They were horrible. And they got so, like, dirty. It's got, like, manky fingerprints all over them and shit. It's horrible.
No, Just Cause 3 is, I figured it was a, or I found it to be a fairly well optimized game. It was the sort of thing that would either run really well or wouldn't run at all, basically.
The only thing I don't like is their V-Sync. The V-Sync's shite. It, like, as soon as it drops vaguely below 60, it defaults to 30. Which is.
Turn off V-Sync then.
Well, I have, but then you get screen tearing and you can't run it in, Right, I'll tell you what, right, now that I've got a PC that works, you suddenly become a whole lot more snobby about, like, oh, there's some screen tearing. Oh, I can't run it in borderless window and do triple buffering. Oh, no. This has ruined my gaming experience.
I do love borderless windowed mode. That is my favourite thing. I try and run everything in borderless windowed. Tearing doesn't tend to bother me unless it is really bad. I can't remember what I was playing that had it utterly horrendous. It might have been Batman? I can't remember.
Probably
everything.
It was something that needed. It was something that needed patching.
Batman.
But yeah.
I think after the patch, that it was actually fixed. I remember writing something about it and saying it's nice. I can actually spin around 180 degrees without the screen dividing in two.
Yeah.
So it definitely wasn't Batman.
No.
It might have been the patch fixed, or the patch has fixed a few things on re-release.
I think Batman got another patch the other day. They're still trying. They mended some of the rain effects that had been broken for about a year. So hey,
they released the rest of the DLC today as well, I think.
I've heard that's quite short and not that good.
Probably, but it is four pieces of DLC, so I'm kind of intrigued. Most of the DLC hasn't been great, so I'm going to be honest with you. Like the actual story stuff, but the extra challenge mode stuff is always welcome. I'm always happy to have another environment to punch criminals in.
Absolutely. What do I have next on the list? Let's have a look. That's right. It's the VR Vive.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Tim, it's not a fad, despite what the readers tell us.
40% of our readership.
I think you mean the Vive.
Supposedly delayed due to a astonishing, spectacular breakthrough in VR technology. So spectacular that they can't tell us what it is.
I know what it is. I figured it out.
Okay.
When you go and buy one, they're going to send you an empty box and it'll just have a note in it saying, try real life.
That's what
it'll be. It's a breakthrough. It's an absolute breakthrough. It's
some kind of like weird self-help kind of experiment, yeah.
It's like the Crytek game, the one they put out, the thing called the Climb, right? If you really want to go climbing, just go climbing.
That's dangerous, though, Paul, and requires physical exertion.
Look, Tim, let's face it. How many people are going to be falling over coffee tables, breaking their legs, smashing into sofas as they try and swirl around their living room with a VR headset on?
17.
Mark my words.
That's about how many people are going to be able to afford a VR headset.
Oh no, don't worry, all the hardcore PC guys, they'll be picking it up.
Maybe the breakthrough is that it comes with a sort of deflector shield now. So anytime you approach a coffee table, it just kind of bounces it a little bit out of the way. Or a cat just kind of sends that flying across the room.
It should apply, in fact, if you're going to fall in it, so it should apply electric shock to your head.
Well, no, it's just sounding like a torture device.
Well.
So it kind of is anyway. It's just that at the moment it only inflicts nausea.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. And it makes gives you headaches because the mask is pulled so tight against your face.
I suppose given how many people kind of say, oh, you know, when I was doing the VR thing and it looked like I was on a cliff and I started getting vertigo and stuff, you probably could use it as a weird device to inflict unpleasantness on people if they're so easily fooled by that kind of stuff. I don't know. Easily fooled is a bit harsh. I'm sure if I was wearing one, I too would be like, oh, I'm on a cliff. Oh, shit. I don't know. Never have, so I'm not sure.
Do you know what piece of news caught my attention this week?
I don't. Please tell me.
It was the fact that yesterday Bandai Namco, Bandai Games, sent us about 70,000 fucking press releases.
Yeah, they did. They're releasing all the games in the West, some of which are coming to PC as well. Have you heard of any of these games, Tim? I mean, obviously they aren't out yet, so obviously not that.
I can't even remember. What were they?
God Eater and God Eater 2.
I have a sneaking suspicion I do know about. I've got a feeling they were Were they something to do with the Wii U initially?
I don't know. They're supposedly sort of the Monster Hunter type genre.
I know of them. I know the name, and I can remember a few of the various chats I engage in with were discussing them a little bit, but I can't remember much in the way of specifics. So that's something I suppose we're fairly happy about, I guess.
Well, you know, why not? The other one was Tales of Berseria, which is the next Tales of game, which isn't out yet, but will be.
That's a really stupid name. Yeah, okay, more Tales of games, sure, why not?
There you go. And the other one is One Piece Burning Blood.
I do actually remember that one, because I remember Paul asking me about a month ago when they announced it if it was coming to PC. And I went and checked, and no, it was just consoles.
That's right.
And then Paul asked me again yesterday, is it coming to PC? And I said, you asked me this a month ago. And he said, well, apparently now it is.
And lo and behold.
So. Yeah.
That was my psychic power abilities.
It's like, why? Why are they releasing all of this information now? Like, do they... I'll grant you, no one else is going to be putting out press releases, but that's because everyone's gone on their fucking holidays.
Technically speaking, they announced it a few days ago at some event in Tokyo. It's just, I think the info was embargoed, which is the stupid part.
Same difference, then.
Yeah. I don't know. But hey, more Japanese games. They just keep on coming.
So. Oh, they did also announce the release date for Tales of Symphonia.
All right.
Which was the other Tales of game that they were remastering for the PC, and I think if you pre-ordered Tales of Zestiria, you would get it for free as soon as it was released. So that was quite nice. That was actually a half decent pre-order bonus for once.
Yeah, that's like an actual game. That's quite good.
Yeah, it's like pre-order and you get this game, and not only that, this game. It's been out on consoles for a while, but it's not going to be out on PC until next year. So it's like getting a free game that isn't out yet. So you probably don't already own it. How good is that?
It's just better than the Final Fantasy one that said you'd get like a special wallpaper or something.
Yeah, it was a Dota 2 loading screen.
That's it, yeah. Can't say that was particularly enticing. But I don't play Dota 2, so...
You did also get a Chocobo Courier, though, and that's quite enticing.
Yeah, that probably is. Anyway.
If you play Dota and Final Fantasy, you'll want a Chocobo Courier.
Was there any more news people were particularly enticed by during this wind-down festive period at all?
The Steam sale has started.
Sure, yes, that's happened as we recorded this not an hour ago.
Yeah, I don't think we actually really need to talk about that, except it's got a kind of gingerbread noir comic going on.
Yes, looks quite good.
Steam obviously exploded. Peter, is Game of Thrones worth £7?
The whole shebang?
The whole shebang.
Not really.
I'm gonna take that one no for the time it's taking to answer that.
There are other things I would spend £7 on before that. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, but that's because you don't already own basically everything on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if you think you're specifically curious about Telltale's Game of Thrones, and like you were thinking about it when it was £20 and now it's £7, then it probably is, but. It's not a great game.
But you'll probably be disappointed.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I've lowered your expectations enough now that you won't be.
Maybe. I mean, actually, we discussed this a while ago because it was actually episode 1 was free on the PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I downloaded that. I haven't played it yet, but I was going to play episode 1 and then have you spoil the rest of the series for me so I didn't have to play it because... You told me that episode 1 was quite good, and then it went massively downhill from there.
It goes downhill about sort of like the halfway mark. That's when you start to realise, oh shit, they're not going to wrap any of this up, are they? Half of these plot strands are going nowhere. Oh well. yeah, it starts off quite good. So if you can get the first episode free, then play that and then just stop.
apparently, we're going to have at least one more season of it, possibly two.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's just, I can't really say without spoiling, but there's a lot of things that, if they do a season two, they'll just have to go, oh, well, that person just died, or let's not talk about that person anymore, because depending on the choices you made, certain bits are a little bit different at the end, and it's going to be hard for them to, they won't be able to continue both branches at once, so they'll either have to decide that one of them was the real one, or just, like, shuffle that character off stage left quietly, which is what they did in The Walking Dead.
Well, yes.
Anyway.
So it's not like there isn't precedent for this.
It's kind of annoying, though. Because then it means all the stuff that was hanging from the first season just gets kind of ignored and reset for season two. Whatever.
They'll wind up doing it sort of like Heroes. If you remember the old series that was really good for the first season and then went completely to shit because they dragged it out massively. That's going to be it. They're going to kind of allude to the unfinished plot threads and hint that they will get resolved at some point and everything's interlinked and then they never will.
Yes. I mean, that happened basically with the first season, so I'd imagine that'll happen again and then keep happening. And it's a weird kind of parallel with the actual book series as well, which has
or
got...
Or season two will parallel the book series again in another way and focus on an entirely different house.
Yeah. Look, there's some new characters for you. No, stop it. Go back to the ones I'm interested in, Mr. George Martin. Stop introducing these random people. I'm not sure about that.
Come on, with the attrition rate in Game of Thrones, if he doesn't introduce random people... There are going to be fucking three people left alive.
No, it's fine. There's some of them, it's fine. It's just, I don't know. He's got a pretty massive cast already, and then he starts off another plot line with some other dude who's turning up in Westeros. With like, I've got the surprise heir to the throne here. Ooh, that's all right. But you've got a lot of other plots to resolve. You've just started a new one. Anyway, I wasn't a spoiler, don't worry. What games have we played, lads, other than Just Cause 3, which apparently we've all played a bit of, Tim, more than others.
I've played quite a lot of.
Yes, indeed.
I've been playing Black Desert.
Oh, that's right. I saw you make a horrible character for it. Oh, not horrible. He was just a little bit unlucky in the looks department.
Oh, he was great. He was so much fun, even though he only took like 7 minutes or so to put together. But, oh, you spend a lot of time in there messing with the faces.
Yeah, it looked quite robust, that character creator. Quite good.
I liked the screenshot I think I sent to you, Peter, which was someone whose character they had set it so that his default facial expression was a scream.
Yes. He's going around yelling continually.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
That does look good. I do want to get that downloaded just to play with the character creation tool. I did watch that video, Paul. I really like the kid with the flute at the end.
Yeah.
And by kid with flute, I mean kid randomly playing a single out of tune note occasionally.
Yeah, and yet the sheep were very, very interested in his playing.
The thing with that game is, like, obviously it's a Korean game and it's had translation and so on. But half the quirkiness of it is the translations that are so bad that it makes it really quite funny. And there are just moments like that where you just think, what the fuck is going on here? Just very, very strange things. I can't really remember any specifically, but there's just been a few things. Like the flute thing is just a great example of that.
Maybe that means something very specific.
I don't know.
Korean cultural phenomena.
Also, what cracks me up as well is like when you put your mount, when you've got your mount. In my case, it was a donkey by the time I had finished up. Like when you get off them, there's a big arrow above their head that just says parking. Right, and it's just like what? Could you not have thought of a better term, like stabled or...
No, that's perfect. That's completely perfect.
So there's all these like donkeys just standing around with like big arrows with parking going like that above their heads. It's just so bizarre.
That's amazing.
All right. It's in beta. It'll be fixed.
Yeah, but
Don't change that.
Oh. Jeez.
I know. This sounds like it's part of the game's charm, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I mean, having played, I think I got to like level 14 or something by the time the thing had wrapped up today, and not a huge amount. I haven't been able to play it as much as I'd like to, but it's pretty typical MMO fare, you know, go out, kill lots of crap at the beginning, go and kill more lots of crap. And to be perfectly honest, up to about like level 8 or 9, that really was pretty tedious. I was just about slitting my wrist at that point because it was a case of go and kill these guys, come back, hey, and then go and kill these other guys that are like the other guys, but they're a little bit further afield.
this sounds very much like a Korean MMO, as they are kind of infamous for being very grind heavy.
Yeah. But then sort of beyond that, bizarrely, I don't know what happened, but somehow I managed to lose my quest chain completely. And I had no quests and I couldn't pick any up from anywhere. So I was just like wandering around with my donkey, like going, what do I do now? So I thought, well, I'll backtrack and see if there's someone that I've missed talking to. So I'm just talking to all these vendors and people wandering around, and like, there's just nothing. There's like, I couldn't go any further as far as the quest. So I don't know what happened to my quest line anyway.
You just finished the beta. That was all they translated.
No, there's more in it than that. But I mean, I did a bit of fishing. Thought I'll try that out, which is about as tedious as fishing always is in MMOs.
But Paul, you were free. You had escaped the shackles of the virtual world. You were the one free person. You were the prophesied saviour.
And yes, remember in this festive season, another tale of a man who walked around with a donkey, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's all coming now. It's all coming to light. This is why this happened.
Do you see now? Ah.
But there's like some really
a star
nice
in the sky that you might have wanted to follow or something like that.
There are some really nice things in it. Visually, it's pretty stunning. Although one of the problems with it right now is that it tends to, the scenery tends to pop quite badly, even if you have the view distance set right up.
I saw a bit of that in your video, actually.
Yeah, like you can kind of ignore it, but it is a bit off-putting. But it does look nice. I do like the sort of palette and everything they've used. It's very colourful. It's kind of like The Witcher in that respect.
A lot of foliage.
Yeah, just nice. It's nice to be in the world. And it has something about it that I don't get from a lot of MMOs. And it is the feeling of the world kind of feels a little bit more real. And that's probably to do with the fact that there's people wandering around. I would love to have got this, but I didn't get this for. Basically, you can like go out and you can tame a wild horse, bring it back, put it in your stable. Then you can attach a cart to it, right? So you can drive around, like with a sort of like wagon thing, and just drive around, just pointlessly. I mean, well, brilliant.
You say put it in your stable. You mean park it?
Park it in your garage.
Put it in the garage.
Yeah. Can you put stuff in the cart and then I don't know?
Yeah. Well, you can. You can put.
Or be a taxi service or something.
No, you can put in some of your inventory on your donkey, and then he gets a little pack on him.
Right.
So it has potential. I don't know if it's going to suffer from what all MMOs suffer from, where it just kind of gets to the end game and you're just kind of like, you know what? It's really difficult to tell, but it looks nice. Technologically, it looks nice.
Has anyone tried doing another sort of Dark Age of Camelot? Because that was kind of the one MMO that didn't really suffer from the end game problem, because it was essentially just a giant war between three factions of players.
There was a Kickstarter, wasn't there, for like a new Dark Age of Camelot? And is that maybe when that shows up?
I don't know about much. Has anyone followed that game Crowfall?
I have not.
I think we've mentioned it a couple of times in the news. I'll probably have a look at it again. But it's supposed to be... sort of a bit more interesting take on the MMO genre. You can look it up. It was Kickstarted, I think. And it does actually look quite interesting, but I can't remember anything about it, which is terrible. So I'm not going to talk about it. But I will go back and have another look at it.
I'm sorry, this is going back a little bit, but I'm just trying to remember Jesus, right?
Yeah.
He was the one who started that band Nazareth, wasn't he?
Oh God, Tim. You better just leave now. Just leave.
He
invented Easter eggs or something.
He used to be chairman of Real Madrid or one of them Spanish clubs.
Yeah, but it's not Jill, Jesus, anyway. It's not Jesus, it's Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely.
Yeah. Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth.
A Middle Eastern man who would not get into America these days.
She probably doesn't want to go there.
Be all right at the moment. We've got a reasonable president right now. May not be so hot in the next few years, though.
Donald Trump is not getting elected.
Nah, he's not. It's fine. It's fine.
No, we need Trump. We've got to have Trump just to make it just a complete laughingstock. Be hilarious. Bring in the Trump.
Let's face it. We've got Cameron, so we're already being run by the lizard people. But with Trump, I mean, my God, if Trump gets in, I think that, you know, America might need to seriously consider letting the rest of the world vote for their president, because they clearly cannot be fucking trusted with it.
It's just, like, it's fine. This time of year when they're doing Republican primary stuff, the batshit insane Republican has always got a cadre of insane people bigging them up. And then when it gets to the actual votes, they vote for the slightly less evil and insane person to represent them.
Only slightly less evil and insane.
Well, moderately, I suppose. Depends who they go for.
Yeah, I've seen the lineup though, Tim, haven't you? It's a great lineup.
True.
Ideally, Donald Trump decides to run as an independent, and then the Democrats win by default. That would be fine.
I was looking at
showing my political colours slightly there.
I'm still not convinced that Donald Trump isn't like actually a Democrat stalking horse.
It is, yeah. It's possible. There's a lot of conspiracies to that end floating around.
I mean, some of the shit he comes out with, I actually assumed was like from The Onion or from a parody Twitter account, and then I discovered it was actually him. Someone dug up a tweet of his from about 3 years ago where he claimed that global warming was an invention of the Chinese designed to stop American industries.
Yeah.
Fucking what? How do you believe that?
Do you think he writes for the Daily Mail as well under a pseudonym?
Oh, that's right. Didn't he praise what's her face? That fucking colonist.
Katie, whatever her name is. Kate Hopkins.
Yes.
He praises her as he's like, see, all the respected British journalists think I'm fantastic. It's like, no, just Katie fucking Hopkins.
I just have a message for all media. Stop giving her a fucking soapbox. Stop booking her for stuff. She's a complete idiot.
It's
like Jack Thompson all over again. Until something happens and she actually gets banned from having an opinion.
That doesn't. I reckon Donald Trump just likes saying outrageous things and then seeing what happens. I think he's just kind of a professional troll.
I hope that's the case. But I'm not sure I believe it.
One of his ex-wives did say that he used to have a book of Hitler's best speeches as his bedside reading. So you've got to wonder.
I mean,
he might have been just reading it out of interest. You know, it doesn't necessarily.
On the one hand, there are like literal. There are genuine academic, legitimate reasons why you would read Hitler's speeches or even Mein Kampf or something like that.
I
did a bit
of communist stuff during my university period because that's what I was studying.
You know, there are legitimate reasons, but then again, when he was asked, you know, someone pointed out that wasn't his policy towards the Middle East and so on and so forth a bit similar to where. To how Hitler treated the Jews, his response was something like, "Well, yeah, so." That's
yeah, but see, that just feeds into my. He's just saying outrageous things.
So. There was also the point where he called on Putin as a great leader, and when someone basically questioned him and basically said, well, didn't he like have a journalist killed though? Wouldn't you agree that's a bad thing? Mm. He had to actually press Trump 3 times on that before Trump said, well, yeah, killing journalists is probably a bad thing.
On balance, probably goes against some of the rules and stuff that we have established. What a character. What a character. Well, that's the end of our Donald Trump discussion. What games do you reckon Donald Trump plays? Do you reckon he'd like Just Cause 3, I reckon? Just going around blowing shit up.
Just blowing shit up, not worrying
about anything.
I think he'd probably get on quite well with Hatred. A game that was sort of like the original Postal, only even worse somehow.
Yeah. Or maybe one of the like city builders or something. He'd probably look quite like that.
Yeah, he's put lots of towers with Trump all over the front of them.
Yeah. He'd mod city skylines. Just to have Trump written on everything.
Probably. He'd possibly do that, or he would possibly like start up one of the SimCity scenarios that puts you in control of like Dubai or something, and then he'd drop meteors on it and laugh.
We've all done that though in SimCity, surely.
True.
Open a scenario and then write monster attack, flooding, fires.
True. Fair point.
It's just what you do. I'm going to please Tim now by saying I finished Undertale. He already knows this, but, you know.
So. Yeah, did you like it, Peter?
I did. I liked it a lot. I finished so much, I finished it twice. Although that's not quite the whole story, yeah, because... Go on, yeah.
You got the good ending, and then you got the proper good ending.
Even better ending. Because it basically goes, oh, you've nearly got the really good ending. Do you want to go back in and get that and do a couple more things to do that? Yes, yeah, sure, I'll do that. That's a very good game, and it made my list of games I liked in 2015, which is on the site now, and other lists of which will be coming shortly.
I have to ask, and I realise that this is...
Go on.
Avoiding spoilers, and I know that you haven't, those are the playthroughs you've done. You haven't done the genuinely horrific and heartrending genocide run.
No, I don't want to go, I'm not going to, because that's really mean.
And they're all living happily now. You don't want to reset the world again.
Well, it would be, I don't know, it'd be like if Grim Fandango let you do a run where you kill everyone or something. It's like, I'm not going to do that. I like these people now.
It's a genuinely harrowing experience to do that. Now, bear in mind, I did that all the way up to the final boss battle before I reviewed it. Would you have given it a 10 out of 10, or do you think it has enough flaws that you would drop it? I'm curious as to how you'd score it. We know that scores are bullshit, but this is one of those games that after I finished it, I was like, no doubt in my mind, this is a 10 out of 10, and this is one of those games that is going to be listed as one of my favourite games ever.
Would I have given it a 10? Slightly colours my opinion is that I came to it later,
right.
And so even though I wasn't really spoiled on it, I knew some of the things that it would do, if that makes sense. Like, I knew, okay, yeah, yes, you win a lot of the battles by not fighting, if that makes sense.
You also knew, I remember you telling me your wife had mentioned to you when the game did something unusual, and you said, yes, I think it's meant to do that. So again...
And some of those things, you know, unavoidably would have had more impact if I'd come to it when it came out, you know, completely blind, as it were.
This is why my review basically said, stop reading this review and come buy it. Right in the opening paragraph.
You know, it's really good. It's definitely one of the best games of the year. You know, I'd be giving it like a 9. I don't know if I'd give it a 10. You know, those... giving stuff 10s is a very personal kind of like...
It is.
It's nudged a little bit further beyond the "this is a really good game, this is one of the best ones of the year" kind of thing. I think it's one that will resonate into other years, as the best games do, and it will still have relevance.
I mean, 10 is when you're kind of nudging, certainly out of any objective stance. That is definitely an extraordinarily subjective thing. It's basically saying this is a game that is really special.
Yep.
Which is why we give it out so rarely. And I think we actually tend to disagree somewhat. Like, just because one of us gives something a 10, the others wouldn't necessarily do the same thing. I wouldn't have rated City Skylines as highly as Paul did. And I suspect you probably wouldn't have rated Monaco as highly as I did, and so on and so forth.
That's
fine.
It is fine. No, I very much enjoyed it, and I have a soft spot for games where you're quite regularly fighting, in inverted commas, things that don't really want to be fighting you back. The bit in, sorry, I know I reference Dark Souls constantly, but the Sif fight in Dark Souls,
yes,
where you know that Sif doesn't really want to be fighting you, and it's like, oh, yeah, fuck, but I've got to kill him because I need this item to let me continue the story. Undertale has the same sort of effect as that at various points. And I also like that a lot of the... I mentioned this in my little blurby thing for my best games. I like that a lot of the characters have weaknesses, if you like, or, you know, problems that are unusual for games. Like, they just kind of are a bit awkward or have social anxiety and stuff like that.
It's a bit hard to call that
a weakness, actually, but, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
A character flaw, if you like.
When you first meet the characters, they all come across as caricatures.
Mm.
Like, Sans is just a skeleton who tells jokes, and Papyrus is very boisterous and full of himself, and Undyne is this unrelenting knight, and so forth. And then you actually get to know them, and they actually have personalities beyond that. They have traits beyond that.
Hmm.
It's a really nuanced game in so many ways, full of so many little secrets, little bits and pieces, many of which I will tell you after this podcast, now that you've played it, because I'm certain you're not going to go back to it.
I like that it knows very much that it's a game, and that it messes around with things that only games can mess around with, like, you know, subverting your expectations in various ways that use the medium, because I also appreciate that.
I also like that Toby Fox actually came out and said that his next game will be absolutely nothing like this, because this is the sort of thing that can only work once, and he is damn right on that.
Good, yeah, absolutely. I don't want Undertale 2. I don't know how that would work. It would probably not really work. I had a good time playing that. Other than that, I've been doing that thing that you do when you have a new PC, where you go back to some games that didn't really run very well, and go, oh, that works now, great. Play it for about 20 minutes, and then stop for a bit. And and getting more snobby about how games run, like, Just Cause 3 stuff. Screen tearing. It's not quite 60 frames per second at all times. What can I do?
Can't wait for your first port impressions piece to appear.
This is horrendous. It dropped a couple of frames every now and again. I can't believe it. It's disgraceful.
And it doesn't look absolutely fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's a port of a PS3 game from 5 years ago. I expect proper textures.
Yeah, speaking of which, Undertale only runs at 30 FPS, Tim. That's terrible.
Don't give a shit.
How can this, like, Earthbound-style, top-down-ish JRPG not... not JRPG, because it's not actually from Japan, but you know what I mean.
I actually didn't notice the 30 frames a second thing, you know.
I only did because I have the Steam frame counter on at the time. Oh, okay. It had 30 in the corner.
No, I didn't.
It makes no difference whatsoever in that game. But
well, that's the thing. You'd think it might, considering that combat, like defending against attacks, is bullet hell stuff, yeah. Mostly, sometimes.
That's a good point, actually. Some people probably will have noticed that. But
I didn't notice it at all. It just felt fine. But then again, maybe that's because, again, it's kind of a throwback in visual style to a lot of older SNES games like Earthbound and things like that, which again had the same kind of self-knowing sense of humour.
It grabbed me a lot like the Barclay Shut Up and Jam Gaiden game did, in the sense, I mean, they have different approaches to jokes and humour, but it's the same sort of like, we obviously really liked this certain era of JRPGs and we're going to do our own weird and wonderful creative homage to it.
That's what made Earthbound so fucking weird, because Earthbound came out in that period and yet that is basically what it is.
Right.
It's like an homage to that genre. And it's very self-referential and knowing and quite funny. And then it's interspersed with segments of genuine nightmare fuel.
Beautiful.
Much like Undertale, come to think of it.
Yeah, that has some grim parts. That's no doubt about it. Tim, what you played?
I've largely spent my weekend being horrifically ill, and I'm going to go and lie down after this podcast as
right.
well, and go watch Adventure Brothers. But I've been trying to catch up on a few bits and pieces that I kind of missed over the year. Oh. I've got a new video card incoming, so I'm waiting for that before I sort of
just
dive
had to one up me, didn't you?
Well, no, I mean, I'm getting to the point where, you know, if I'm having to run games that are coming out on low settings, then it's time to upgrade.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm not going back to Just Cause 3 or The Witcher 3's DLC or anything like that just yet. I'll wait for the video card. But I have gone back and played a couple of older things that I missed throughout the year that I've been meaning to play, like Rebel Galaxy is one that I've been spending quite a lot of time with.
Yeah.
I really fucking love that game's soundtrack. It is so good.
It's great, isn't it? I don't know where they found a lot of that, but it's really bizarrely appropriate. I don't know why Western and space works so well. I guess it's because it's like the Uncharted frontier exploration, the hardship type stuff.
Well, because I mean, StarCraft did the same thing as well, because that was the Confederacy and so on and so forth, and everyone had sort of Texan accents and whatnot. But yeah, we'll doubtless wind up talking more about this shortly. But this could get an alternative award for best unofficial Firefly game, certainly. It definitely evokes the same thing, and it's so nice again having actual songs, like licensed songs, as backing music in a game, like sailing through space and you've got sort of twangy slide guitar going on and a guy singing gruffly sort
going
of dark
music on a whiskey soaked barroom floor and stuff like that. It makes those parts more interesting as well, because I'm sure that with a kind of, I don't know, more generic space soundtrack, a lot of that travel time stuff would probably get more tedious than it is, you know. But it's kind of all right, because it's like, yeah, I'm just rocking through space.
Mass Effect, oddly enough, I thought always managed its soundtracks quite well, because that didn't tend to go in so much for orchestral stuff. That was more electronic. The case a bit trancy synth, you know, that was kind of going back to sort of the 80s sci-fi stuff, right down to the first game, if I remember rightly, having a film grain filter if you wanted it. But yeah, that was kind of evoking sort of Vangelis and things like that.
First game.
But yeah, this Rebel Galaxy, I'm finding the game very Moorish. In that I play it and I get a bit bored with like grinding out for an upgrade or doing yet another battle against some pirates.
Yep.
And then I sort of dock at a station. I go, actually, I've nearly got this upgrade. I think I'll just go and I'll do that. Or I'll force myself to quit out. And then 2 hours later, I'll think, I can actually fire up Rebel Galaxy again now and do another couple of missions. It's weird.
Yeah,
it reminds me.
You can see where the grind is, but it sort of isn't too bad in somehow, because it's just the game itself is pretty charming, so it's all fine. I guess kind of like Paul, you were saying about Black Desert, in the sense that there was plenty of grind in it, but you know the world was fun to be in. Mm. It was kind of good to. It's less tedious than it might be. There's not horrible amounts of grind in Rebel Galaxy. It's just occasionally, if you want to do the next quest mission, it'll go, oh, I'm sorry, this is horrifically dangerous for you right now. You should do some side stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've upgraded my ship a couple of times. My my capital ship is now a lot bigger than it was. It's a proper big thing, bristling with guns and turrets, and Mark III weapons and armor, and so on and so forth.
Have you gone for like a proper capital ship? Because I think I sort of stuck around in the mid-ish tier because I liked having a really quick ship.
Yeah, I would imagine that if you go for a really big ship as well, you're going to take a lot more damage because you're going to be a much easier target.
But you'll also be dishing it out like crazy. So it probably won't matter.
I'm not sure. I've only seen sort of a couple of ships that are way out of my price range that look huge, but they don't really appeal to me.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I didn't want a massive juggernaut, really.
I've just been pootling around in the second sector for a little bit. I turned up there with about 200,000 credits, so I immediately had enough cash to get myself some nice new upgrades. And
that's good.
Yeah, I'm having a fairly good time with it. But it's the visuals and the music that really do it for me. It is a really beautiful game, and it's got a really good atmosphere thanks to the music. Although I am confused by how many Australians there are apparently in Space Wild West.
Yeah. Do you know the story of how they did the like character animation? They were, because you know it's just like two guys, the former Runic guys who made this. And they were, I think they were struggling with their character animation, and then one of them just went out and bought a used Kinect for like $30, and sat in front of it and waggled his arms around a bit and did some
mocap. Nice.
And they basically just used that for all of the mocap. And to be honest, it works pretty well.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't look wrong. It's not like LA Noir levels of amazing capturing or anything. But for a small indie game that actually looks a lot better than it has any right to, because it is a gorgeous game.
It
works perfectly. It's great.
Yeah. I thought that was really clever. If you're listening to developers and you need some cheap mocap, apparently a used Kinect is the way to go.
Chris Roberts, you really didn't need to spend billions on a mocap studio. It does remind me a lot of Freelancer, which ties back to Chris Roberts again, because he was, I think, the designer of that.
Indeed.
That was fairly similar in terms of being relatively linear, trading combat game that was very light. It was a third person thing. You sort of piloted the craft from a third person perspective, so it wasn't really a space simulator in the sense of most of them, but it was light, it was entertaining. It reminds me quite a lot of that, and I have some fond memories of that game.
Yeah, definitely. It's the kind of elite thing, but stripped down to its basics of like, shooting stuff and you're trading. And occasionally you'll chat with someone and do a mission and stuff. But
God, I really wish the trading interface would actually like show, like remember how much I had paid for goods.
Yeah, that's definitely a reasonable complaint. It's a little, I think the trade interface used to be even more obtuse at one point, bizarrely. It at least now kind of shows you, oh, this is normally traded here, and like it's was recently more expensive, but now it's cheaper, and you know, stuff like that. It kind of gives you an idea without outright saying it, but I mean, it may as well just tell you. It's kind of a bit.
Yeah, it, It took me a while to work out that on the right hand side of the screen when you're trading is like a little. It's almost like a stock chart that sort of goes up and so on. It took me a while to realize that was only for that station.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering why it's like, why the hell is the highest price so low underneath the system average? It's like the system average is talking about all the stations across the entire galaxy. And then I realized, no, it's just that station.
Yes. I do like the sort of dynamic economic events that happen, though, where you have like a market glut somewhere and you know you can just show up there and buy everything because everything is going to be cheap, pretty much. Stuff like that.
I do like being able to sort of... I do like the freedom. I like being able to go, you know what? I don't want to take any of these missions. I'm just going to scout around, see if I can find a nice... a big ore field, or maybe, on the news, there's a pirate lord traveling from this system. Yeah. I'll go down there and see if I can follow him, track him down.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of wishing I'd sided with the pirates instead of the militia.
You get a few unique ships if you do that, I think. But then, likewise, you lose out on some by siding with the pirates. You know, I don't know how playable it is, honestly, but...
Yeah, I would have put a save point like before that and tried it out just to see which way I preferred. But no, it looks like it's just sort of the one save thing.
I'm going to guess the main plot probably doesn't change a whole bunch if you're a pirate, and there's probably a couple of bits that do. But
I think it's identical, and I don't think you'd miss out on anything much in terms of ships. It'd probably just be a couple of very specific ones.
You'd just be docking at pirate bases instead of militia ones.
Yeah, what I'm tempted to do, considering I've sided with the militia in the storyline, is I actually do a load of pirate missions and see if I can get them up to neutral so that I can dock at their bases. Without pissing off the militia too much, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if like the alien factions will come into it a bit more as I go further in, or if they're always just going to be sort of generic assholes who turn up in fights.
They're mostly that. Okay. You get sort of different ones. A few different ones start showing up, but you never really make friends with the alien factions, which is a bit of a shame. But you know, it's a two-man game, like a literal two-man game. So I.
No, I can't really complain about that. I've been playing that a bit. I've got a few other things on my list I want to go through. Under Rail, see if it's as good as Undertale.
Indeed, Under Rail. Yeah, got a mention on my best of list. Like, you haven't given Under Rail. Well, it came out like 4 days ago, mate. Sorry.
It's been out for 3 days or something.
It's probably really good. I have heard very good things about it, but yeah.
I haven't
played that one, sorry.
Haven't had a chance to actually play it yet, so no.
It's probably quite long.
it won't be making our short list this year. We didn't get pre-release code or anything.
We'll keep it in mind for next year. Like anything that comes out in late December, we will keep in mind, it can count for 2016, because it's not really fair otherwise.
I was very surprised not to see Scholar of the First Sin on your list, Peter.
Well, you know, I do like Dark Souls 2 a lot, but I don't
there's only so far you can milk that.
I don't think it's changed it in... Well, if you've never played the DLC, it changes it in quite impressive and significant ways. But since I had already played all the DLC, the changes aren't that dramatic.
No, the profound. Just make the game 100 times fucking harder.
Yeah, so I've heard. I'll give it a go and see what it's like, but no.
That explains it. You haven't played it, that's fine.
Not really, no. I loaded it up and walked around a bit, but not much more than that.
That's basically the same. There are a couple of minor changes at the start, but not many.
I've heard the Pursuer shows up a lot more, which is quite funny. I quite like that, the sound of that change.
And the very first time he shows up, there are also like six skeleton archers around.
I should have put it on my list to complete the skeleton set, because like most of my games had skeletons for some reason. Except for Rocket League. I don't think there's any skeletons in that. One of the like hats or flags might have a skeleton on somewhere.
Yeah, there's probably a skull and crossbones flag and a decal of bones or something.
I'm sure there is actually, but I'm not really counting that. Pillars of Eternity had enough skeletons in. Anyway.
Actually, you know what? No, Rocket League, all the cars are driven by skeletons. That is the only possible explanation for how they are still alive during those matches.
That's canon now. So my list's up. I've seen your list is in the CMS, Paul. I don't know if it's... Is it complete, or are you working on it?
I think I'm done with it.
All right. So we'll have yours.
He's done with it, which means we need to start with it now, Peter.
Indeed.
A copy editing. Yeah. Tim, I'm sure you're working on yours. Are you having trouble whittling it down?
I am. You say started working on it. I haven't typed a single word of it. I've been trying to work out what the hell to put on it.
Well, that's the hardest battle, frankly, for these types of things.
So
I'm gonna take your. I'll steal from you and throw in a couple of honourable mentions at the end as well.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, see, as Peter's chosen his old based on the fact it's got skeletons in it. Okay. Why don't you choose all yours that have got cats in it, Tim?
How many games? Witcher 3 has cats in it.
Yeah. So does Fallout 4's got cats.
Undertale has some cats.
Yeah, Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition. That's got cat quests.
Yep. I think the original even had cat quests. So
yeah,
you do all right. Just choosing ones with cats.
Yeah, I managed that. Totally not going to do that, but I could.
You might do it accidentally, like I ended up with skeletons without realizing.
That would if you did. Go on, Tim.
I was just going to say, part of the problem I'm having is that I'm trying to sort of diversify the list. I mean, it'd be easy to put like Undertale and Life is Strange on there, but they kind of both occupy the same sort of space in terms of being narrative, emotional. They do interesting bits and pieces within their respective genres. And I kind of... I would rather diversify a bit and try and actually pick stuff that's different from each other, that is individually distinct.
So is that going to be Tim's obscure list of JRPGs?
I don't know.
No, because I've played the JRPGs that got released on Steam this year, Paul. I played lots of them. I played them and I wrote about them, Paul. I was very sad. I threatened in email to fire cats at Square Enix's offices.
Have they fixed that bug yet, by the way?
I don't know. They have patched the game a couple of times since, but I haven't fired it back up again.
Oh, never mind. So that's what's coming up anyway. Our best of lists. Also, our alternative awards list, which I'll be getting back into this afternoon as well, I think.
Yep, I've started writing a few of those. We need to pare that down quite significantly.
Paul, we're going to have a big fat release dates list. Some period of time between Christmas.
Yeah, I've just got a message for all publishers and developers: stop giving release dates out because I can't this list finish.
Seriously, you know, on the one hand, I'm pleased that like we get so many more games now, and we get all the sort of Japanese stuff. And it's like, but there's already too many games to cover, and now we're just getting more of them. Please stop.
Well, we try to pick and choose. I mean, we try to review the big games, and then with the smaller games, we try to review whatever interests us, like Way of the Samurai, for instance.
That works. That works fairly well.
Yeah. Well, you think about all the AAA, the so-called AAA games that have been released this year that we just haven't even looked at. Not bothered.
Yeah, well, we didn't do comp this year, did we? I tried to get that, but no one wanted to give it to me.
Yeah, in a few cases, there are kind of legitimate reasons for that. Like, we never got Rainbow Six Siege Code, and I wasn't paying 50 quid. Call of Duty I probably would have done something with that, except that I can't for ethical reasons. So that was down to Peter, and they never sent us code, and Peter wasn't going to buy it. So this is the stuff we would cover it, but
and we do sometimes buy stuff.
We weren't paying for it, so.
Well, I wouldn't have even been bothered. I wasn't even bothered that we didn't do Battlefield or COD or, you know, that doesn't bother me anymore. I just kind of think these things are so much less important.
Well, was there a Battlefield game this year?
Battlefront.
We did cover that.
Yeah, we did.
Not massively though.
We didn't do a full review or anything, but that's because doing a full review of a multiplayer only game is
pain in the ass.
Utterly retarded if you're doing it within a few days of launch.
Yeah. Anyway.
So sorry to all the outlets out there and everyone who reviewed it within a few days of launch claiming that you're mentally handicapped.
Well, I don't know.
One other thing I've got to mention as well, actually. We'll have 1,000 or so Nosgoth veteran packs to give away. So that'll be happening either tomorrow.
If you want to get your vampire action. So there's some
actually monetary value on these. So there you go.
Good stuff. Plenty to look forward to. And then, between Christmas and New Year, not much will happen, probably, but we'll put stuff up every now and then.
I'll be scouring for news on Christmas Day because fucking Downton Abbey's on, and I refuse to watch Downton Abbey when everyone else is watching it.
Well, don't worry, I'm sure Namco Bandai will send you something.
Yeah, I'll be good. At least somebody just released, one press release on Christmas Day, so I don't have to watch Downton Abbey. You'll get a brilliant write-up.
Yeah.
You are almost certainly going to, because the press releases I've been getting lately are really obscure ones. Sort of everything's winding down for Christmas. So most of the ones I'm getting are one man developers from Malaysia who've made a puzzle game that you can only buy via PayPal.
but it's going to be great. Everyone should get it. Yeah.
So please do send all of this shit to Paul and he will write massive news items about them.
What if it's a press release about Downton Abbey, the game?
Oh, my God.
What then?
Maybe Telltale will do a Downton Abbey game.
Actually,
I'm 90% certain that there is already a Downton Abbey game, and it will probably be a hidden object thing on the iPad.
Yeah, you're right. What if they revisit this as a sort of open world RPG, then I might go for that.
With guns.
You can be sure.
Yeah,
that's around World War I, isn't it? That's about guns are a thing. Yeah.
There we go. There is indeed Downton Abbey, the game on the iOS store. Oh, and it's from Activision.
Well done, Activision. Never knowingly shy of a license.
I might have looked at if it had been called something like Downton Abbey, the Killing, or something like that. That would have been reasonably interesting.
Now, I know we don't
with the killing.
I know we don't normally cover iOS games, but it was one of the most exciting days of the year for everyone living and working at Downton Abbey. The day of the Village Fete had arrived and everyone joined in the day's festivities. Great time was had by all. However, upon returning to the Abbey, it was quickly discovered that all was not well. The house had been ransacked.
Oh, fuck.
An intruder had been through every room, stealing priceless objects and scattering items everywhere. With the Crawley family's fortunes on the line, and with so many Abbey residents with secrets to hide, no one is safe and everyone is a suspect. The Earl of Grantham has hired you to help return the castle to its original state of glory.
Well, look, it's not difficult to figure that one out. It's some fucker downstairs, below stairs, that's obviously gone and raked through the silver while they were out
picnics. Oh, that's right, Paul. Picnics. Just blame the servants.
Yeah, absolutely. Always isn't Downton Abbey. They're the ones that's
the culprit. What items have gone missing? Earn the residents' trust by returning found items to their rightful owners and earn the nobility's favour. Leverage your relationship with the family to earn the privilege to explore additional parts of the Abbey and advance the story. Compete with friends.
They're making it sound like Crusader Kings, but I have my doubts that it's...
Crusader Kings Downton Abbey would be fucking brilliant.
Just, navigating this class maze to
Actually, yeah, if they just did like Downton Abbey the game, but they did it like Floor 13 or Black Closet, where you're kind of sort of running a clandestine thing within the Abbey to try and keep everything ticking along, to try and stop scandals and so on.
Well, that'd be amazing. Black Closet during your podcast appearance, by the way. And going, right, it's this game where you're at a girl's school and you're kind of spying on them. And wait, no, wait, everyone.
Yeah, Rob kind of interrupts me and goes, Tim, where's this going?
Gotta be careful.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. I really liked Black Closet, but there is no way to make that game sound anything other than horrifically perverse.
And yet, bizarrely, from what I've seen of it, it actually isn't. It's
No, it's not.
It's not in any way. It just sounds like it would be. Yeah. Well, have a Merry Christmas, everybody, and a fantastic New Year.
We're not allowed to say that, Peter. You know, political correctness.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. You're not one of those like old white conservatives that's worried about a war on Christmas, are you, Tim? It's fine.
Have a Merry Christmas, but fuck every holiday.
If you're not celebrating Christmas, just enjoy the time off if you have it, or the overtime pay if you're getting that.
Yeah, enjoy December, basically.
Sure.
Indeed. And have a good whatever you celebrate. Have a nice break if you're having one.
Yeah.
All of that. Try not to get too out of hand. Enjoy yourself, and we will probably see you next year.
When are we back?
When would we? Oh, that's a good question. What's the nearest Tuesday to New Year?
5th of January.
Probably about then. Then I'll say 5th of January.
If I get bored next week, I'll do a monologue.
Okay. Lonely, I don't want to watch Downton Abbey podcast. That'll be good.
If anything startling happens, we can do an emergency Christmas New Year podcast.
Sure. I'm going to be away for some.
In which you two are drunk and I've taken far too much of my medication.
Hooray!
Hooray for the medication.
That's just the festive spirit that I would come to expect. Right, thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
And silent, under the dawn of that last great day.
Christmas casting. Cresting the... Fucking sharp. Shut up!